Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Did you know that the word conspire means to breathe together? So I want everybody to take a breath. Now blow it out. There, you have just launched a conspiracy. You can hear the word spirit in there, to conspire, to be filled with the same spirit, to be enlivened by the same wind. And isn't that what happens to all of us when we come together to worship God? The Holy Spirit blows through us, creating something unique, something that you cannot be if you are alone, something that is almost impossible to explain to someone if they have not experienced it. It's a unique community filled with the same wind, the same breath. The songs we sing, the prayers we pray, the words we hear, the breaths we breathe, conspiring together, breathing the breath of God together. Would you turn it down a little bit? It sounds very beautiful. In fact, it sounds very pastoral. But did you experience the wind yesterday? Did you find it pastoral? I didn't like it. We all started off saying, "Oh, that feels nice. That's a nice breeze." If it was the Holy Spirit, it ran us off the porch and into the house. After a while, it actually starts to get to you, doesn't it, that wind? You get a little unnerved. It blows where it will. And as the scriptures say, the Spirit blows where it will. Many of you have told me over these 11 years that you love being in this community, but that you're also uncertain about what it means for you personally to be a Christian in this time and place. As always, I will tell you, I think that is healthy to wonder and discern what it means to be part of a faith family. It's something that none of us should ever just take for granted. We do know that when we come together, when we conspire together to breathe in and out, that Spirit enlivens our lives. Something sacred happens to us and through us and with us and to others. This family, when you're part of it, is as real as any family you will ever have. It's the work that we do here together. It's a place where we belong. It is a community that is spirit-filled and born of the Holy Spirit. In our diversity, in our differences, we come together, and no matter how we feel about other things that inform our lives, we know we are a family and that we are respected and cared for here. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit in each other, we know that we are never alone. We share our prayers, and we have for many years, and it has really helped us to feel the Spirit move in our lives and understand each other in profound ways, hasn't it? We share our prayer concerns, and the breath of one person is shared with each of us, making the concern and the joy our concern and our joy. And we form a conspiracy of sorts, don't we? The apostles, Luke tells us, and the Acts of the Apostles conspired on that day of Pentecost, sharing their breath through the power of the Holy Spirit. The amazing thing about that day is that a small group of people were gathered in a house, probably a church house. Jesus had gone from them, but he had promised them the Spirit, the advocate that would come and help them. And the story tells us that this small band of followers began to speak in languages other than their own. And here's the part that I think we miss sometimes. All around there were people of many nations in town, in Jerusalem. And the people began hearing out in the streets. People began hearing their own language out in the streets. So imagine walking down the street now in another country. You're in a foreign country, and suddenly, no matter where you are, you can hear from somewhere a group of people babbling on. That was a pun. So you stick your head in the house where you hear someone speaking your language. Your language. And so does everyone else around you. And you're all drawn to it. Because what you can hear, you can understand. And they think that what they're going to find are people who look just like them. But they don't. But instead, they found Galileans speaking many, many different tongues. And before the day it was over, Luke tells us that the church had grown by over 3,000 people. So I should stop and ask you all what you're thinking right now. Are you saying, Pastor, that in my modern sensitivity I must speak in tongues? Well, are you telling me that I have to help the church grow by speaking in a language other than my own? Well, yes and no. If you go back to the story, all the people who had come from all over the world did hear people speaking in their tongues, but that I don't think would ever be enough to transform your life and want you to be a part of a particular movement, to be part of this conspiracy of breathing in and out the very breath of God, sucking in God's breath and being changed forever. Now, the story says so much more. When they heard each other talking in their own language, the story says, all of us hear them telling in their own tongues the great things God has done. The great things God has done. They didn't hear, how's it going? What are you doing for dinner? Isn't this cool that we're all talking and we can understand each other? No, they were telling the stories of God. And what God had done in their lives. And that is what the people heard. The people in the house, the people in the streets were hearing what God had done in the lives of these people. And the people were proclaiming it loudly in a way that others could hear. They were telling the stories of Jesus and how he had changed their life forever. Now, I know I'm back to that area where we all kind of struggle and get uncomfortable. Okay, Pastor, religion is private. I have my private prayers. You know, I'm very spiritual. I'm good. There's all those things we say. But religion isn't private. I come here to worship, Pastor, but not to be able to tell my friends what God has done for me. If I tell my friends about Jesus, they may run away. They may think I'm crazy. Well, I guess I have a conspiracy theory of my own. I wonder what would happen if all of us spoke in the language, the cultural language of the people in our lives all around us. Not the language of Mesopotamia or Cappadocia or Pontus or Asia, though that might be easier. But to share the great things that God has done to people who may be suspicious of the church, suspicious of religion, who have walked away from the church because they think the church is hypocritical, or because the church has been portrayed as not being accepting and welcoming of everyone, where judgments are made day in, day out about what it really means to be a Christian, where there are so many rules, where people feel that the knowledge of the world that they have conflicts with what the church might teach them, and so they have all given up. But thank God, you and I both know that that is not the whole story of the church. That is not even the tip of the iceberg. Where else can you go to ground yourselves in the holy, to be changed from inside out, to be nudged to give back to God and God's gracious creation? Where else can you go to learn to share your stories and to share your prayers and to hear others? Where else can you go where you can bring all your doubts and your fears and you can lay them on the altar? Where else can you go to celebrate God's gift to us and raise your voice in celebration? Where else can you go to experience the revelation of God through our Savior Jesus Christ? Just like those early followers who gathered that day for Pentecost, we have a story to tell about the great things that God has done for us. The story is not necessarily the shoulds and the should nots, but the love of God revealed to us through Jesus Christ. The good news. And the good news is that we never have to tell that story alone. We have the breath of God to conspire with us. Imagine the end of Jesus' life. When he let go of that last breath, willingly, we believed, for the love of us. That breath hovered around close by him for a while, and then it was let loose on the world. A breath so full of passion, so full of life that we are still breathing it in and out today here in this space. That mighty wind is a gift from God, the inheritors of every breath that Jesus took. Every breath from the moment he said yes to God to the last breath he took on the cross on behalf of the transformation of the whole world. Breathing in and out the Holy Spirit, you and I are doing the same thing. We are taking part in the great things God has done, one breath at a time. Taking God into you and giving God back to the world. And when you do that, there's some of you attached. You breathe in all who have gone before you. You breathe in everyone who has gone before you. You breathe in every breath Jesus took, and when you breathe it out and you offer it to the world, you are attached to it. That is God's call for you and for me. It is a conspiracy of goodness. We can call it air, we can call it the Holy Spirit, promising to set our heads on fire, giving us tongues to speak of the great things God has done for us, to all of those who have given up hope that such a God even exists. Blowing through our lives in uncontrollable, powerful ways, God's way with God's plan. The question is, do you still believe in a God that acts like that? I do not know your answer, but take in a deep breath and join the Holy Spirit conspiracy, and then see what happens next. Amen.